Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program. It's been a interesting week in the landscape and garden business as far as getting out and getting around. Lots of great things going on at this time of year, and I hope you're getting some great things done in your landscape and garden. I hope you'll pick up the phone. That would be one great thing, and give me a call. Toll free, Jared Taylor will pick up the phone and answer it. Call me, and he'll get you screened, 888-256-1080. We are live right now and looking forward to your call. It's toll-free, 888-256-1080. Anywhere that you can hear me, call now. Won't you please? 888, we need the prefix, 888-256-1080. For the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour, we broadcast from Amarillo to Corpus Christi and Victoria. We broadcast from Alpine in the Davis and Jesus Mountains area of southwest Texas all the way to the Piney Woods of East Texas. So we'll cover the breadth of this great state, and I'd love to hear from you right now. Give me a call. Let me have a chance to help you with your plant questions. Are you interested in landscaping, in lawns, in fruit flower, or vegetable gardening? Those are all fair game right now, so do call. I can talk about some things that are important at this time of year, but the most important thing to me would be to answer any questions that you might have. So that's what's on our docket, and this is the most active time of the gardening year. And it's a chance to get a lot of things done while the weather is nice and get things off to a great start. I was writing a newspaper column yesterday and this morning, in fact, and thinking, you know, we have a lot of damage still showing from 3 years ago, from the cold spell of February 2021 that never got replaced or repaired. And it's really too bad. Our state doesn't look as good as it did 4 years ago. By now, we could be doing so much better, and I hope that folks will take the chance this spring to spend some time outside. Most parts of Texas have had some good rains, and the weather is still delightful outside, so it's the time to do that. Get out and get the landscape renovated and get things looking their best. That's what I'm here for. Let's talk about it. Toll free, 888-256-1080. We'll get the program underway in just a moment. If you would like a book that would help you know all the right plants to choose, let me give you the suggestion of Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. I wanted to write a handbook that would cover all the aspects of landscaping, lawns, and fruit and flower gardening, vegetable gardening, the whole works, all in one book. And I came as close as I could. I think it's the best work of my career. It's Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening, as I mentioned. This is not the cowboy boot book. That was published by a publisher. This one is self-published so that I can make the decisions. It's 344 pages, 840 of my photographs, printed on high-quality paper and printed in Texas. Most publishing houses now go out of the country to have their books printed. They go to China for the most part. And I wanted to be able to go to all the press checks. I wasn't going to go to China to look at press checks. I wanted to go to see all the colors and make sure that they were represented properly as the book printed. And I did that. I went to Clear Visions in San Antonio for 3 weeks and watched this book come off 16 pages at a time and print after print after press check after press check. And then it went to Universal Bookbindery in downtown San Antonio, a historic facility. That's how I could make sure I had the book that I always wanted to be able to hand to you. It's only $34.95. That's a sale price that I have put on it. It is a list price of $38.95, which itself is a bargain because it's not in stores. It's not on Amazon. It doesn't go through. It doesn't go through a distributor. It doesn't go through a publisher. It doesn't go through all those markups. It comes directly from me to your mailbox. There are two ways you can order the book. One is to go to my website. The other is to call my office. I'll give you that contact information in just a second. Let me describe the book to you. Chapter one is the basics of gardening in Texas. Chapter two is something I've never put in a book before. It's a 48-page calendar, carefully outlining all the details of when to plant, prune, fertilize, and spray all of the plants that you're growing in your landscape and in your fruit, flower, and vegetable gardens here in Texas for every county of the state. And the chapters, so it's 4 pages per month for all 12 months. It's a perpetual calendar. And then chapters 3 through 11 are very detailed chapters on trees, shrubs, vines, ground covers, annuals, perennials, lawns, and fruit and vegetables. All that color, 840 photographs, 344 pages, a hardback, and you can get it for just $34.95. In a bookstore, if it were in bookstores, it'd cost you $50 or $60. But you get it for $34.95, and I'll sign your copy as it sells. I'll take it to the post office myself. Just took another batch last night. This is the way you get it. You call my office Monday through Friday, business hours. Oh, I guess we'll be closed on Good Friday. Monday through Thursday this week, call 1-800-752-GROW. 800-752-4769. But the better way, and you can do this right now, is to order it from my website, neilsperry.com. Most of the orders come from the website, NEILSPERRY.com. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. Let me tell you about the certification program with the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. I've been watching this over all of my career. I was with the Extension Service back in the 70s when this began. I watched the Nursery Association and the Texas A&M. I was a part of this on the committee early on as the certification program was being formed. And now here we are all these 40 or 50 years later, and there are thousands of Texas certified and Texas master certified nursery professionals across the great state. This is your assurance you're getting the best in nursery advice and the best in nursery service and plants and products. These people know what they're talking about. These are full-time professional nursery workers, men and women who studied long and hard hours. You'll find them at member nurseries of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. Shop where you see their name badges and emblems. Now that's the Texas Certified and Texas Master Certified Nursery Professionals at member nurseries of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. I'll be back with more right after this message. All right, Kelly, thank you very, very much. And we lost our connection there in between. And every time that happens, I have to reboot. And when I reboot, I lose my phone screen. So I know we had a call. I don't know where the call is from. It's from Washington County. I remember that. I know the topic. Don't remember the caller. So hello, caller. Come on in. Say it again, Jared. Joe. All right. Joe, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. How can I help?
My question to you is, I need some oak trees trimmed. And everybody that I've talked to says that they don't use no pruning paint or something like that when they trim the limbs off. Now, you said you're supposed to use it, but they tell me that they've never used it. So what's up?
Well, they've never been correct in what they're doing. You don't have to use pruning paint. You have to use paint of some sort. Pruning paint is a product that's readily available for that purpose. You can use any kind of paint, but you've got to seal those cut surfaces. Here is where I can offer you the proof. Go to texasoakwilt.org, texasoakwilt.org, and you will see the combined efforts of the Texas A&M Forest Service, Texas A&M University plant pathologists, and the International Society of Consulting Arborists, and you will see their work that says you paint cut surfaces of oaks that are greater in size than half an inch immediately after cutting.
Well, I understand that, Neil, but everybody that I've talked to try to get them to do this, and as soon as I ask them that, they say no. So, you know, I'm kind of stuck like Chuck.
Well, if you're stuck like Chuck, I think I would find another arborist. They're wrong. They're as wrong as can be. You go to a doctor and the doctor says You need surgery immediately. You have a very bad disease. And you go to the surgeon. He says, no, don't do that surgery. That's not necessary. You go to another surgeon. You keep going until you find one who does the right thing. They are telling you the wrong information. If you care to listen to people who don't practice what Texas A&M and the Forest Service and the International Society of Arboriculture all say is the right thing, then you have some bad arborists in your area. That's unheard of, and especially as beautiful as those live oaks are in Washington County, they've got to be protected. It's not a big deal.
That's the reason I'm calling, because, you know, I'm like you. If you're going to have surgery, you need to have it done. If you're going to do this, you need to do it the right way. And right. I'll just have to keep plugging at the book, I guess.
Well, I think so. And it may be that something about how it was presented to them, they didn't understand. Maybe they don't paint in the middle of the wintertime or something, but they need to do it all the time. City of San Antonio requires it be done. I mean, it's a city ordinance. It's a law. And that's how stern it is. So now you go for it.
That's the reason I don't want to lose my oak trees. I mean, you know, I need it done because they're low and they're in the way of the lawnmower and stuff. When you mow the grass, they're banging you in the head. So I need them trimmed. But like I said, I've had a couple of them come out and I say, well, do you paint after you cut? No. I said, well, then I'll just keep looking. But I just wanted to make sure.
Joe, I'll tell you what I would do is contact a couple of things you could do. Contact your county extension office in Washington County and ask them to recommend three arborists. I think they're allowed to do that. Three really good arborists who are certified arborists. There's a level of licensure called Certified Arborist from the International Society of Arboriculture, ISA. You can go to isa.org and there is a spot on their website that says find a certified arborist near me. And you'll have several that are near you. If you open up the radius far enough, 40 miles, you're going to find about 1,000 of them because they'll be over at A&M. You don't want those because a lot of them are going to be college professors. But you'll find some in Washington County. And those are the men and women who understand the right way to prune oaks. And they'll do you right. There are plenty of them around you. You got a couple that don't know. They haven't been educated.
Okie doke. Well, I thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for being stern about this. You stick by your guns. You'll do fine. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. You betcha, sir. Phone number, folks, if you'd like to call is 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. To explain what that is all about, oak wilt is a fungal disease, fungus, that invades oaks. It is spread by a beetle. It's also spread by root grafts, so it can get from tree to tree other ways, but the fast way that it spreads, and it is a real problem through the hill country. Areas miles across are devastated by it. It is spread through cut surfaces, it is just imperative that oaks, especially red oaks, are highly susceptible. All the cut surfaces must be sealed the same day that they're cut. They don't have to be sealed the minute they're cut. You can go ahead and finish the pruning job and then go back and seal them that same day. But the sealing of those pruning cuts prevents the beetles from carrying the fungus into those exposed tissues. That's what we're trying to do. There's a second part to that, and that is that pruning should not be done during the spring. I should have mentioned that to Joe. Should not be done during this time of year. The taboo time is basically Valentine's Day until the middle of July. The fungal mats, the fungus is not active during the really hot weather and through the fall and winter. It's just in the spring that the fungal mats form and the beetles carry the disease. So you really need to pay attention to that. And all of that information is very black and white, plainly available online at texasoakwilt.org. It's a lot of research that's gone into this. This disease has been around for 80 or 90 years. It was first identified in the upper Midwest, I believe in Illinois, and it has made a real prominence in Texas. So be careful. All right. If you'd like to call, love to hear from you. 888-256-1080. During this break, I'm going to reestablish my phone screening line, and we'll get that all up and where I can see what I have. 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Call right now. 888-256-1080. If you miss getting high-yield turf and ornamental weed and grass stopper pre-emergent down, you may have some weeds popping up in your yard. It's still too cold or damp for most weed killers to have much effect on those weeds, but Fertilome Weed Free Zone is one of the few weed killers you can use this early in the season. It uses a cool weather herbicide that's effective down to 40 degrees and up to 85 degrees. You know what? We've had days where it was 45 or 40 in the morning and 85 by afternoon. If you hadn't noticed, this is a crazy state. This is a great product. Fertilome Weed Free Zone safely controls more than 80 broadleafed weeds. Use it for dandelions, henbit, chickweed, and more. You'll see rapid and effective broadleafed weed control with visible results within 24 hours. And soon your lawn will be a weed-free zone. Great name for the product, then. No matter where you live, out west, down south, up north in the panhandle, or East Texas, wherever you are in this great state, you will find Fertilome and high-yield products at your local independently owned feed stores and nurseries. This is just one example. It's a Fertilome weed-free zone. Ask for it by name. Ask for all those great Fertilome products and high-yield products made in Texas for Texas conditions. Fertilome.com is the website. Fertilome weed-free zone. I'll be back with more after these messages. Thank you, Kelly, very much indeed. We have a line open, a line, 888-256-1080. Gary is in Lubbock. Gary, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil. Thanks for your service and for those sponsors who support
Thank you. Thanks for noting that very much.
I'm about to fertilize my Bermuda grass here in Lubbock County. I know there's an NPK ratio. I want to know what NPK ratio I need for March 23rd.
All right. A soil test is always going to be your best way of knowing that. And I would suggest every 3 or 4 years that you have your soil tested. You may have access to something through Tech. If not, then the Texas A&M lab at College Station doesn't care where the soil comes from. They'll be able to give you a good test. But since you want to do it right away, I'm going to go with kind of a generic answer. Almost all of our soils in the western 80% of Texas have enough phosphorus. We don't need to be adding the middle number. The generic answer is go with all nitrogen. So the middle number could be zero and it wouldn't break anybody's heart. If you have a little bit of the third number, phosphorus, potassium, I'm sorry, potassium, the K, it would be fine. It is kind of, nobody cares. It's important in summer and winter hardiness, but most soils have some potassium in them, if not a good bit. And so it's not a big issue. The problem with the phosphorus is when we start adding phosphorus, the middle number, it is slow to dissolve and it accumulates in the soil and we get too much and it affects how the plants can take up other minor elements. And so that's why the soil testing labs have really put the brakes on adding more phosphorus. Some states don't even allow phosphorus to be put in fertilizers for the time being or for now, for good. So we're looking at an all nitrogen fertilizer, and that nitrogen, it doesn't matter how much it has in it. I say that it does. It ought to be a fairly high number, 20, 30, 40% nitrogen. But what you really want, Gary, is you want to see in the fine print that maybe a third or 40% of that nitrogen is slow release. It's going to be either encapsulated or coated nitrogen, so it will release over a period of time. I have worn you out with this answer already, and I'm not even through yet. So, and I know that, I understand that. Where you buy this, if you buy it at an independent garden center or a hardware store, nursery or feed store, they can turn the bag over and show you on the back in the fine print two kinds of nitrogen, fast release and slow release. The fast release is good for quick green up, and you do want that, but you also want that timed release nitrogen too. You want two kinds. You do not want 2100, for example. That's all nitrogen, all fast release nitrogen. That's an example of all nitrogen fertilizer, but that's like junk food. It's all fast release. The grass would green up right away, but then it just quits growing after about 3 weeks. There's nothing left. So you need something that has some of both. I got to work on my technique of explaining that. I didn't do it well. But that's what you're looking for, and it's in the fine print. These companies make so much deal out of names and hype, and then they go to put weed and feed and insect killers and everything in them. By my choice, I want a fertilizer to have fertilizer, and I'll do the other stuff separately. But that's, the products are products. But I would, brand doesn't matter as much. It's what's in the brand does matter, but it doesn't matter as much as what's in that. And you want the slow release mixed in with the fast release.
All right. Neil, your education was worth every penny.
Well, you didn't spend anything, so I understand what you just said. And I agree with you. Gary, you're about to get one of our grandchildren out to tech this fall, and you're getting a gem. Take good care of her.
All righty.
All right. Thanks for the call. Take care.
You're welcome.
Let's see where we are. We have time. Let's go now to that line is open, by the way, at 888-256-1080. Give us a call right now, 888-256-1080. Let's go to Russell in Iola. Russell, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil. If you don't mind, I'd like to go back to our tree conversations here in Texas.
Okay.
We're having issues with cedars dying over here. And I'm a 69-year-old man, and cedars have always been a very hardy tree in our area. But in this last week, I have cut down at least six cedar trees that range between 6 inches and 24 inches in diameter. What's happening here?
You and I have not had this discussion before, right?
No. I apologize okay. In advance if you've already talked about it.
No, it is absolutely not a problem. I have had it with a couple of other people, and I've had it in my Q&A column that I write for several newspapers, and I had it sent into my eGardens question mailbag that I do for my newsletter. And every time I say, well, I think I answered that in here about 2 weeks ago, and I go back and look, and no, it wasn't there. And so, I surely can't hold anybody responsible for remembering something that was discussed here a month ago, so no problem. And I don't know if it was here or on my local radio program I do in DFW. Not a problem at all. What I told the people in my electronic newsletter a couple days ago, and you're welcome to look at that, eGardens is, it's posted on my website at neilsperry.com, and click on eGardens, you can see it. In the
okay.
question and answer area, I spent this week about an hour, maybe 2 hours, online doing research on why eastern red cedar, Juniperus virginiana, might be dying like they are. In 54 years of helping Texas gardeners with all kinds of problems, like this program and lawns and vegetable garden, everything, both with Extension Service and for the first 7 years, and then 40, whatever it is, beyond that, on radio and in newspapers, I have never had as many eastern red cedars suddenly dying, like you're asking about, as I have this one year added together. I don't know what's happened. And so I've done a lot of research to see if there is, I'm just going to put it in air quotes, a plague that has hit that plant, which normally, like you said, is infallible. And I can't find anything. I can't find it through the Texas A&M websites. I can't find it through Clemson or Oklahoma State. I can't find it through any of the other university websites that I usually find really good information on from. Terrible grammar. And so I'm kind of out to dry on those things. I talked to Russell Peters, who is a former Arborist of the Year for the state of Texas. He is with one of my advertisers, Arborological Services. And he is a certified arborist. I referred to that earlier in an answer to the gentleman from Washington County. And he's one of the best in the state. And I said, Russ, what's going on with these things? And he said, Neil, I don't know. And we talked about some of the different things that could be happening. It could be drought, leftover effects of drought. It could be Ceridium canker, which has attacked a lot of other conifers like Leyland cypress and Italian cypress, but it doesn't normally go after junipers, not like this. This looks like spider mite damage, and that may be it, but it doesn't happen this time of year, and it doesn't happen so rapidly like what you're talking about. Let me ask you something. This will help me a great deal. What did these look like 2 months ago? Were they healthy in the wintertime, or and therefore they just died this spring, or were they dead over the winter?
No, they were healthy. And once they started dying, seems like the majority of them, they start turning brown at the top, and they just kind of work their way down. And within, I'm gonna say, 3 or 4 days, they're totally brown. And while I'm cutting them down and moving them around, Neil, I damaged the bark on them a little bit doing that, and it peels away. And I'm noticing, looks like what I'm gonna call beetle trails inside the wood there.
Oh, that's unusual. Usually borers and things of that sort don't go into red cedars.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what you just described sounds like one up the road from us. It's in a pasture that is abused, next to a house that abuses its landscape. And I'm going to go look at that because it's dying from the top down. I noticed it yesterday, and I will go look at it. I don't think I want to be abused, so I may not go up into the pasture, but I'm going to see what I can see. What I would do, do you have any of them developing the problem right now?
No, I do have a couple more on a fence line that I'm going to have to cut down that have died since I've cut these other ones down.
All right. I want to follow through with you and see what you and I can figure out together on this thing. When you cut one down, or when you see one in your neighborhood that is having this problem, I want you to check for spider mites. They normally would start at the bottom and flush upward, and people have told me just the opposite, like you did. But spider mites are almost microscopic. Have you ever heard somebody describe how to check for them?
No, I have not.
All right, they are the most damaging pest that we have in Texas to landscape and garden plants. They are almost microscopic. You could put 20 of them on the head of a pin, shoulder to shoulder, and they'd be side by side. They would not be stacked. They are generally kind of a paprika color. The way that I look for them, we were at a restaurant last night where last year I saw them on a juniper. They usually show up in February and March. They're early there on tomatoes and marigolds and things. They don't show up until June or July. It's a different species. You take a leaf or a little twig of a juniper that you think is possibly damaged, being damaged by them. You thump it over a sheet of white paper very firmly. at a time when there's no moisture on the twig. You don't want to do it with a wet twig, and you don't want to do it when it's windy. Thump it over white paper and look on the white paper for little specks that about 10 seconds later start to run around, walk around. They will be tiny, tiny, tiny. It helps to have a magnifying glass, a reading, just like a handheld magnifying glass. If you see those, that's the problem. And you may see a lot of them. I've seen as many as 75 or 100 of them when I do that little twig four inches long. I don't know that that's what's going to be the problem, but I'd like to know. I'm going to have Jared give you an email in this break that's coming up in just a second. Don't hang up when we finish. And
okay.
Please contact her. I have to do it off air, otherwise I'd have a million people contacting me.
Sure.
If you'll reach out to a lady at my office, she will put us in contact, and I'll follow through with you. I really want to find this out. This has come up enough times. I need to find out what's going on, and I'll try to help.
Okay. And what I'll do is I have, like I say, these that have died are on a fence line, and I have some other cedars there by them which hadn't been affected, and I'll kind of keep an eye on them, and I'll do that same test on that.
Test a twig that is turning colors, not one, and I'm talking about a twig, just of little, a little twig, not a branch, and
yes.
It's not dead, not completely brown. The mites leave when the plant's dead. They're gone. And if you will follow through with an email to the address he's going to give you today, I'll put her on alert to watch her office email for it, and I'll be back in touch with you over this week.
I will do that, Neil, and thank you so much for your time, and appreciate your expertise in all these matters that you get called about. You do a great job, and Texas is glad to have you.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Glad to be had. Thank you, Russell. I'll
thank
try
you,
to help
sir.
You. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Don't hang up. Jared, if you'll help him, that'd be great. Let me tell you about my book, folks. It's Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. You can get it for $34.95. Go to my website, neilsperry.com. NEILSPERRY.com. And to order it there, you'll get a signed copy, satisfaction completely guaranteed. 87,000 copies sold. Had to think a second. We've been sending a lot out, and not one request for a refund to date. So if you'd like to get one, I'd love to send it to you. Has 344 pages and 840 of my photographs, and everything needed to support all those photos, and everything you need to know about landscaping, lawns, fruit, flower, and vegetable gardening for every county in this great state of Texas. Chapter 1 is the basics of gardening in Texas. Chapter 2 is that really incredibly comprehensive calendar, a perpetual calendar, 4 pages per month of when to plant, prune, fertilize, and protect all of your plants. And then you have chapters 3 through 11 on trees, shrubs, vines, ground covers, annuals, perennials, lawns, fruit, and vegetables. Everything in the book and my complete satisfaction guarantee to you, or I'll refund every penny. I'll sign your book and get it in the mail right away. But you have to order it, and it's not in stores, not on Amazon, so you have to order it from my website, which is Neil Sperry, NEILSPERRY.com, or you can call my office Monday through Friday business hours, 800-752-GROW. 800-752-4769. The better way, though, is at Neil Sperry, NEILSPERRY.com. More after these messages. All right. Thank you very much, Kelly. A couple of things I want to remind you of. If you have a lawn, it ought to be greening up pretty well by now, unless you're in the far northern reaches of the panhandle. And that means it's getting pretty close to time to put out your first fertilizer of the year. If you haven't done so already, folks in the southern half of the state probably already have. That needs to be an all-nitrogen fertilizer unless you have a soil test that shows you need phosphorus. Most of us will never see that recommendation. They'll just say I use all nitrogen, and 30-35% of that nitrogen should be in slow release form. And your local independent retail garden center or nursery or hardware store or feed store can show you what I'm talking about. Put that out, water it in well. Try not to water right before a rainstorm, thinking that that would water it in for you. That doesn't work well. I was advised that by a mayor once, and it was on a Keep the Water Pure campaign for one of the major rivers of Texas. And I thought, you know what, that makes all the sense in the world. You need to control how much water goes on that lawn. And so I've used that ever since. This is also a time to get most of your vegetables planted, the warm season vegetables. The exception would be some of the ones that need really hot soil. Let me take my last break and then we'll come back. We do have another question that's coming right now. Niels Ferry's eGardens is my free electronic newsletter. I referred to it earlier. You can see what it looks like by going to my website. That is where you sign up for it. It is free and always will be, and I will never spam you. I don't give or sell your email address to anyone, so you don't have to worry about that kind of nonsense. But take a look at it. Niels Ferry's eGardens. I spend about a day and a half to 2 days a week working on it, and so you get a lot of my time at no charge. Niels Ferry's eGardens. Go to neilsperry.com, same place you go to buy my book, and click on the eGardens tab. Take a look at it, and you'll always find a featured plant of the week. You'll find gardening this weekend, where I point out the things that need to be done that weekend, and you'll find answers to a lot of gardeners' questions as well. Niels Ferry's eGardens at neilsperry.com. And let me tell you once again about the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association and their certification program. If you want the best in nursery advice, you will go to a member nursery of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association, and you will talk to somebody who is wearing proudly the name badge, the emblem of Texas Certified or Texas Master Certified Nursery Professional. These are men and women who have studied long and hard hours. They've passed difficult exams that prove that they know what they're talking about. You'll find them only at member nurseries of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. Texas Certified and Texas Master Certified Nursery Professionals. I'll be back with more after this message. All right, Kelly, thanks a lot. Jared Taylor has been answering phones, running the boards for me today. We go to Don in Madisonville. Don, this is Neil. Good morning.
Yes, Neil, I've had tried out getting spraying kills all or some of the weed killers on the side of the plants with pretty good luck. But some have said that you get in the soil on the side, not hit the plant, you still have enough to damage your garden. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I would not be using herbicides anywhere near my garden. You're talking about using them around vegetables?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yikes. I don't think I'd be doing that, Don.
Well, I just thought I'd try it. I've heard some say that was a good, easy way to do it, but some others say, you know, it'll get on your plants, so I guess I'll just try it and see.
Good. Yeah, easy is not always good. Those words don't always go together. What kind of weeds are you dealing with?
Oh, just mostly the little weeds and little grass too. And
well, all right, that doesn't help.
I guess
it'd
just be a lot of trying and see. I thought I'd try it, but someone said that was good. Someone said it.
No, hang on. Let me finish my thought here. Don't say anything for a second.
Okay.
What I would do if I had small weeds coming up in a vegetable garden, I would find a day when it was not wet, the soil was not completely wet, and this is going to sound like more work than it is really. I would take a medium-sized or small hoe and sharpen it really well. It's amazing when you sharpen a hoe how all you have to do is scuff the soil. You don't have to grub them out. You just scuff the soil and the weeds are gone if you get them when they're small. The other thing you could do that would be even easier would be to put mulch over the top of them if you get them when they're small. But I would not put a weed killer anywhere near vegetables because they can drift. A lot of the weed killers will drift 5 or 10 or 50 feet. And so it's not my choice anyway. So, hey, I got to run. Everybody, thanks for listening. Until next week, happy gardening.